Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be in church this morning. How about you?
Yeah.
I had a momentary stutter pulling on to 89 this morning. I watched an RV go by with a boat on the top of the pickup. And then I watched another RV go by and another boat. And I'm like, no, I want to go. You ever been there? Come on. Are you there? Okay, it's all right. It's okay to do that. Just not every Sunday. Anyway, whatever. Hey, I want to encourage you this morning. How great has this been? How many declared today, I will live and not die by the resurrection power of Christ? Say it with me. I am healed and I am whole in Jesus' name. How many received that today? Hallelujah. Good word, Jesse. John Harris, he's not here today. They're out of town. But I was so, so proud of him. This is a man that he's not here, so I can tell you. He's the one that several years ago, well, it's been a couple of years ago, we were sitting on his boat, actually, Lake Havasu. And about the middle of the day, we hadn't said much. We were just enjoying fishing. He said, Lee, he said, I know you're not out here to preach or to counsel. And he said, I got all that. He said, I love it. He said, but I just got to tell you something. And I saw one big tear come out of the bottom of his sunglasses. He said, for the first time in all my Christian life, I have confidence in my Father. I've watched that guy go from a guy that hid behind his business. He was sharing with me last week, just in all this conversation of faith, he and his wife have really taken a hold of some things. And he had a guy that's been on his heart, a guy that was into survivalism and a prepper and, you know, a war veteran and some real issues, and he ended up moving out of state. And I don't remember all the exact details of the story, but he took Brother Louis Bowes, those of you know Brother Louis, took Brother Louis Bowes, and they went up to visit him in Colorado. And if you know Louis Bowes, that's a bold fellow for Jesus. And he doesn't hit you over the head. He just loves God, and the love of God just flows out of Louis. Well, John said, I was going to take somebody else up there. I just felt really led to go up there and see this guy. And he said, he's just been on my heart. And he said, I was going to take somebody else. And he said, I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me at the last minute, call Louie. So they took Louie and they headed up to Colorado. This guy's been having a lot of physical problems and different things. And he said, we got up there and we visited about guns and we visited about hunting and we visited about all the things that we love. And we were there for, I think it was just one day and a night, and then they were going to head back. I don't remember exactly all the details. And they were getting ready to leave. And he said, this was so in my heart, but he said, I'm not used to doing this. And he said, I heard it, what was in my heart just come out of Louie. Hey, before we go, would you mind if we prayed for you? Long story short, John was part with Louis in leading that guy into relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
Sent a Bible to him after the trip. This guy is here, he is in his 60s, excited about Jesus, reading his Bible, and he says, my body, he said, I feel strong and healthy. He said, the pain, and he said, and he's given all the honor and glory to God. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? I love it. Hallelujah. So how many are glad for Jesus today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 27. This isn't a part of my message, but it really has. Listen to, actually, I was watching old Jesse Duplantis this morning, and this scripture came up, and I thought, man, I would just want the congregation. He didn't share as much as I'm going to read with you here. He built, typical Jesse Duplantis, he built 5 sermons out of one verse. Of course, who's talking? So 27. I love it. Let this be a blessing and encouragement to you today. The Lord is my light. Psalms 27, verse 1. If you're new with your Bible this morning, split it right down the middle and you'll find Psalms. Usually. Find Psalms 27, verse 1. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, In this will I be confident. Do you realize this is the old covenant? This man had a hold of the faith of Jesus. This is the guy, depend, the Lord is my shepherd. Listen, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. How many are glad that we became the house? Come on, help me out a little bit. How many are glad we became the house? But in his understanding, he's speaking of that very thing and of the Lord all the days, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. How many are glad for the rock of Jesus today? And now mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. That dancing around in exuberance and praise and worship bothers you? I'm sorry. I'm not a dancer either. You see me over there. I don't know what to do either. But I'm loving young people, belting out what Jesus has done in me. That's the life of this thing, man. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, he says. Let me back up. Now my head, verse 6. Now mine head be lifted up above mine enemies and round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And then, of course, we have some of the Old Testament terminology because Jesus hadn't come yet. He says, hide not thy face from me. Aren't you glad? That's not a truth. It was an understanding. How many are glad we have Jesus now? Amen. Praise the Lord. Jump on down to 11. Teach me thy will, Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over under the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses arise up against me. Blah, blah, blah. David, putting that out there. I'd fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness. Look at this. You could say I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness. This is old covenant people, pre-Jesus. Blended in there is a man that he didn't know this new covenant that we revel in and enjoy now. But prophetically speaking forward, and look, this man understood. If I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Do you see that kind of in and out? David the man and David the prophet? You see him responding to his own thing, and then suddenly the Spirit of God comes on him and he pens the answer to the struggle he's in, even in that thing. How many are glad today the Lord is our light and our salvation? Hallelujah. I love that. Beautiful stuff. Well, you ready to continue on faith? How many are learning and growing in faith? Praise the Lord. I hope you are. I know that I am. This morning, there's just a few verses picking up on last week that I want you to look at just again, just refreshing your memory, stirring your hearts in this direction. Look with me, if you would, at Romans 10. I know we've quoted a bunch, but let's go there together. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Of course, we know three different times at least we are told that the just shall live by faith. How are we just? How are we just? By faith in Jesus. Faith in his blood, Romans says. So the just, how many just we have in the house today? How many put your faith in Jesus? The just shall live by faith. How many know that faith is not just another topic that you cover in church? This is one of the problems that we've had. We turn things. How many have seen books? And I'm not knocking these books. These books help me grow to where I'm at today. But they also cause a lot of confusion. How many have seen books that have titles like The Key to Faith? Who has the, I mean, and then they go through their little formula. And how many of you ever worked those formulas and come up dry? You know, how to grow in faith. And you read it and you read lots of stories. Some things are better caught than taught. I believe just keep preaching the goodness of God and keep preaching who Jesus is and keep laying it in there. And as you grow in Him, keep it away from a formula. Keep it focused on Him as you grow in Him and let the Word. Listen, as we look at Romans 10:17, in this same passage that speaks of how we come into relationship with Jesus, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, this is speaking of the initial born-again experience. The gospel is preached. Read the whole chapter and you'll see that it says how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of them that preach the good news of the gospel to those that haven't heard. So he's saying faith comes through this preaching of the good news. So the Word of God, as we've said many times before, the Word of God, it's like every time we hear every word of God, when we're preaching the Word of God, it's like every word is like a cup that is filled with faith, and it's being deposited in the heart of the believer to be able to respond. And that faith is a gift from God just as much as grace is. As we'll see, I don't know if we'll take the time. As you can tell, I'm not in a hurry on this subject on faith at all. I feel like, as I started to say a few minutes ago, we treat faith like another topic. And I think it's so dangerous. Grace is not just a topic that we cover. Now let's move on to deeper and greater things. Man, grace is where we live. Paul said, it is by faith that in this grace we stand. This is what he tells us in Romans 5. We stand and live here in this grace. How many are thankful today for the unmerited favor of God upon our lives? Would you shout it out with me? I am blessed and highly favored. Whew. Grace. Do you know that faith, like grace, they work together? Faith is a response to His unmerited favor. And faith is something that was given to us as a gift, just like grace. We stand in this grace and we live by faith. Isn't that great? This is how we live. This is how it all got started. Now, I want you to look at this. Now, here's the thing. This is speaking of coming in to relationship. Faith unto salvation was deposited in us. I'll never forget the day in a full-blown service. The music was going. I mean, it was something else in here. We were turned the other direction when Don Weir received the Lord. I still remember it. I still remember it so clearly. What a beautiful thing. And many, many others. The day salvation, the gospel was heard. I'm sure she, like many others, had been exposed to church and Christians. Probably too many of them were jerks. My dad used to say, and I don't know where he got it from. How many know that if a business pulls up in front of your house and has a fish on it, beware? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's sad that it's that way. I don't think it really is that way, but the perception because of so many that use their faith as an inroad for person. I mean, it happens all the time. I remember, I probably shouldn't even tell this, but I was working for just a few months, and on our way here to Arizona, we had a layover there, and I went to work for a guy that was a former Bible school graduate from the Bible school I came from. And this place had vans. They were one of the most well-known. They cleaned chimneys, they cleaned air ducts, they did all the mold remediation, the whole deal. And they had fishes on all their vans, and it was purported to be a Christian. Man, I saw more nonsense. Finally, one day, I'd had about enough, and I was making good money. I walked in there and I said, if you operated your business by that big Bible sitting there on your desk, I thought that guy's going to come over his desk after me. I said, there's more stuff going on here. I said, this is way too loosey-goosey. We're pushing sales so hard and the gray area so hard, and yet you claim the integrity and the character that this book tells us that believers should have. I said, you need to go back to the book and do your business according to the book. I don't know what possessed me, but I'd had about all I could take. How many know what I'm talking about? And he didn't like it, but I pray that it helped him. I said it as lovingly as I knew how. But how many know that we ought to be examples? Not, oh boy, here comes a Christian. Anyway, I'm sure we'd seen a lot of people. She'd seen a lot of people like that. But the Word of God brings with it, when preached, the love of God. Aren't you glad for the gospel today? How many lives today are transformed because of the gospel? When the Word of God is preached, faith is deposited in the heart of the hearer. And it is a gift from God. Thank God it's not my faith that I have to live by, but it's the faith of the Son of God. You need to find that soundtrack, Dad, and let's do that song together next week. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Can you help me remember? Yeah. That, I woke up this morning with that on David Ingalls, the guy he referenced a few minutes ago. I woke up with that song just right off the bat. It's a song that goes back, I don't know how many years, 30 plus. I think it was written in the 70s. It goes, I live by the faith of the Son of God, justified by the faith of Jesus. We'll sing it next week together. Looking from above with his eyes full of love is the way our Father sees us. He only takes a view of me and you through the righteousness of Jesus. I live by the faith of the Son of God, justified by the faith of Jesus. Aren't you glad that we are justified by faith? So we'll do that together with the verses. They're powerful. That'd be fun. And be a blessing. Aren't you glad for the faith of Jesus that is given to us? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me tell you what the Lord spoke to my heart one day, and I've never forgotten this. I was in the middle, actually, of a very, very rough counseling session. Thank God, this couple that should have been completely destroyed. There was unfaithfulness, and I won't get into all the details, but today they're serving in ministry together. She was already getting on a plane for Venezuela, taking the kids. It was a wreck. I was sitting on a Monday morning in my study at our house, and I heard a car door slam, and I heard somebody bawling, weeping like, I can't describe what was going on. And I ran out to see if somebody had been hit or run over, and this guy is crawling up my front yard. He had been caught. It was a bad, bad situation. And thank God, by the Holy Spirit, through His Word, a miracle. That couple was restored. It took about well over a year to even get things going in the direction they needed to do, but today fully restored. Beautiful children in ministry together. What a thing. One of the parts of that whole process was when the Lord showed me this verse, and I heard this first to me and then expressed. Faith comes by hearing. We had a man back here a couple of years ago who I appreciate very much, but he tried to stress a difference between faith and trust. Quite frankly, I don't see it. If I put my trust in Jesus, how is it different than my faith? If I trust someone, are you here today? How is it different than my faith? Now, I understand there's human faith and there's human trust, and we can get all goofy, but the bottom line is, here's what I heard. So then, trust in God comes by the continual hearing of faithful promises. You hear that? So then, trust in God comes through the continual hearing of faithful promises. I remember Jesse Duplantis several years ago. I was heading up to the, actually to work on a ranch up here by Seligman, and was heading out and listening to, I don't even remember, it was one of the morning radio shows. I don't even know if he's still on there. Maybe it was something I had, that's what it was. It was a CD that somebody had given to me. That's what it was. I was listening to the CD. And he was talking about this very thing, how faith and love works together. And he said, I had a guy that was having trouble in his marriage. And he said, I went and talked to the guy. He said, I knew they were both Christians. They'd been regular attenders at the church. And I don't remember what all the details were. I don't want to add to it any more than I remember. But the bottom line is, the guy was a believer. And so he began to talk to him. And he said, well, how often, they were in serious marriage trouble. He said, how often do you tell your wife that you love her? And he goes, he said, I told her I loved her when we got married, and I meant it. He told this for true. And he said, I had to sit there and talk to this guy. And of course, you can imagine the few choice words that Jesse had for this buffoon who was supposedly wanting help for his marriage and had nothing to say. How many know that a marriage is enriched? Well, y'all are so quiet this morning. And in marriage is enriched when we see the best. Anybody here this morning? And we affirm that mate by speaking. Men have the biggest trouble. That's why God, who in his divine wisdom, had a command for men. He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He also told men to deal with their wives according to knowledge. He had a lot to say to men about how they dealt with their wives. Yeah. He said, deal with your wives according to knowledge. Now, he had some things to say to women as well, but I'm going to pick on the guys today. All right. And he told us to love. Here's the thing. If we will learn, both parties, but I believe it should start with the man, whether you feel like it or not, if you will make the habit of the continual affirmation of faithful promises, trust builds. How many know that when trust is broken in a relationship, that's the hardest thing to gain back? How many are glad for the grace and mercy of God that can come into a marriage when we begin to trust Him in that relationship? Okay, you're not going to shout me down there either, so we'll just move along. So here's the deal. When we invite Him in, and it's not an easy thing. Just like with God, there is something called a sacrifice of praise. Many times when we're angry or we're missing, you know, young couples getting started, it's tough when you start bumping into life. And all of a sudden you find out things that you didn't know before about that person. Especially the young ones. I was in a short counseling session the other day with a young couple that's just recently been married, and it's almost comical because they don't realize how open of a book they are. And I think back of Jackie and I. Whoo! Anyway, we got married at 19, and this couple is there. Yeah, we did. We got married at 19 years of age. We had Rebecca a year later. And Amber, within two more years, I mean, we got started early, just like my own parents did. We followed suit. So at any rate, but young couples, one of the most difficult things to understand is that a man can't talk to a woman the way a man would talk to a man. And a woman needs to learn you can't talk to a man the way a woman would talk to a woman. And one of the beautiful key, how in the world did I get into this mess talking about faith? We're going to move right on. So here's the deal. So here's the deal. So we got to find out the key to this marriage relationship is finding out what the needs of the other is and letting God help you and strengthen you. Listen, 1 Peter 3 says that if you have a husband who won't listen to the word, you should tell all the ladies in the church and tell the prayer chain how awful of a person he is and that they should pray for that ungodly rascal. He comes to, how many know that's what happens most of the time? That's not the way it works at all. Here's what the Word of God says. A woman who has a husband who resists God that if she will submit her life to Jesus and not let her adorning be the outward. He's not saying you can't dress nice and hair, and we got Pentecostal movement that has taken that verse out of 1 Peter 3 and said women can't wear makeup and they can't cut their hair. Well, it also says the wearing of clothes. How do you like that one? You're going to stick through, then go ahead and stay with the whole thing. Of course, that's not what he's saying. He's simply saying, don't let what your identity is be your outer person, but rather let your identity in Christ change the way you act and conversate and behave towards your unbelieving husband. And as you live in a godly fashion, that man will be one to Jesus without the word. That's pretty amazing. So the key in Scripture, I mean, I remember years ago, we used to have, I think, 27 or 29 videos in our church, in our counseling department. How many remember Gary Smalley? When he first started out, Keys to Loving Relationships, I believe it was in the early 90s. How many remember that? I remember being so blown away when the couple, what was the piano player host for Entertainment Tonight? Blonde.
John Tesh.
Found out that he was on the verge of divorce. His wife was a big, actress, superstar, whatever. And they were on the verge of divorce. They saw that infomercial. This is the early on the infomercials. They saw that infomercial. They got the video curriculum that came with it. Their marriage was healed. They asked high-profile people. They asked for a personal interview with this Gary Smalley. And they said, where are you getting this stuff from? This is incredible. And then Gary revealed who he was and where it came from. Because his initial set didn't have any scripture, any references to God. He knew that if he did that, people would not be able to. And there's one testimony like that after another. But at any rate, he revealed to them through that process, John Tesh and his wife, I can't remember her name. Connie Selleck. Yes, look at y'all. Dating yourselves. So at any rate, just like me, receive the Lord. I don't know where they're at today, but I know it was just a few years ago, I saw him on a talk show, man. In love with Jesus. Doing good, last I heard. Doing good. Found the Lord. Listen, principles without even scripture involved that cause people to go, where did you get this from? And then he revealed, I got it from Jesus. Here's how it works. And from the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And so, it blew my mind. He was one of the first people that I ever heard say that the key to loving relationships is finding out what the needs of the other are, learning what they are, and then learning to communicate on that level. Isn't that something? He talked about the difficulty of men to express the way they feel. Women who overexpress what they feel and pile it all together. And there have been many books. How many have ever dealt with that, men? Okay. I come home and I get a mountain of information and I immediately, like a man, I still do it. I'm learning. I hear the mountain of information, all the problems, and I immediately, okay, then let's get to work. Let me get my tool belt. We're going to fix this. I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to hear me. Okay, that's women different from men. And it's designed that way on purpose. And as we submit ourselves to God and listen to what God said, that's why God commanded men to love. Because he knew for us, all men can love deeply, but to express it, that's a difficult deal. And he commanded the woman to honor. Do you know that one of the most valuable things in a man's life is honor? Or you could put it this way, /respect. I know men that would almost seem to virtually hate each other, but they respect each other. And they will speak highly. He may be a such and such, so and so forth, but I respect that man. Respect is high. God knew that from the beginning. He knew there was more of a difference between men and women than plumbing. There's spiritual differences. There's emotional differences. There's the way we're made up. And God designed that to work that way. I'm very glad for Jesus today. So when men learn how to build trust. Come on, are you here today? We are, she says. When we learn how to build trust, and women learn how to build trust, why? Whether you feel like it or not, we build trust by being godlike in this. We continually affirm our love through the reminding of faithful promises. I got a kick out of Jesse Duplantis. I wish I could remember some of the things he said to that guy, but he absolutely shucked his corn. There was nowhere to go. He absolutely peeled that guy's ears back to the wall and let him have it. It was hilarious. He said, "What is the matter with you? Are you kidding me?" And then anyway, so at any rate, how many know God has given us in this new covenant great and exceeding precious promises. Whew, that's awesome. And in His Word and by His Holy Spirit, if we're listening, He is faithfully reminding us of who He is and how good He is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Trust comes through the continual affirmation of faithful promises given. How many can remember a few faithful promises today? How many know the Lord is our light and our salvation? Turn with me to Ephesians. Another well-known verse of Scripture. And it looks like I'm not even going to get to my message today, but you know what? I'm enjoying this just like you are. So this is the message. This is the message. So husbands and wives, I don't know where that came from, but somebody needed to hear it. Get to work. Submit to God. Do things His way. Open your mouth. Say it whether you like. I mean, an I love you is so valuable. And we wait too long, or we wait for the right setting. Mean it when you say it. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to say that. Whew, I almost did. Okay, here we go. Look with me at Ephesians. Remember one of our Bible school teachers at Rhema. He said if they took my Bible away and imprisoned me for being a Christian, and then they told me, you can only have two books. We're going to throw the rest away. You can only have two books out of this book. He said, and we got to choose. He says, mine would be the Gospel of John and the book of Ephesians. And I wholeheartedly concur. All of it's wonderful. But boy, is the gospel and the goodness of God packed into those books. Ephesians. Those of you who, I hope all of you study the Word of God. One of the beautiful things about the book of Ephesians, like so many of the writings of Paul, is that he starts out doing just what we talked about. It's the Spirit of God speaking to His bride. And he spends three chapters talking about how much He loves us. And how great this salvation is. And how it comes to us. And then when he gets to 4, he says, now that we know who we are, now we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, walk like who we are. Are you with me? Religion has said, walk like this, then God will love you. Walk this way, then God will empower you. Walk this way, and then you do, and then God will do. Aren't you glad that's not the way it works? We receive His great love by faith, and He empowers us. Right believing produces, as we know, right living, not the other way around. So in this discourse in Ephesians 3, if you go to Ephesians 3, he starts out speaking of his own ministry. He gets down towards the middle, And he says in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Look at what we're talking about, faith, with confidence, in whom we have boldness and access. This is a reflection back to Romans, and we won't take time to go there right now, but boldness and access. How many in here are aware that you can be bold in the presence of God because of your confession of faith in the work of His blood? I don't care where you're still struggling or where your failure may still lie. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord, you stay with that. That faith transforms. As we covered for weeks, we see that almost every miracle, and I say almost because there are people that like to take issue with, for example, the man by the pool of Bethesda, but we don't know what happened there. There's not enough information to take one case and say that imbalances the rest of the many cases where Jesus recognized their faith and a supernatural miracle occurred. You understand what I'm saying? So as we look at it, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of, and this is a consistent theme throughout. It always says, not faith in, over and over and over. I can take you through a slew of scriptures. I was looking at them this morning. It continually says, the faith of, and it says, Him, or of Christ, or of Jesus. Aren't you glad that faith is a gift? It's not something you have to work up or conjure up, and I won't have time today, but I'll show you that Scripture says that when you got born again, you received in that moment all the faith that you will ever need. It's in there already. Ready to roll. What we have to do is renew our minds to what God has already placed in us and begin to release what He has given us. Powerful stuff. Now I'm going to show you an example of that. He says, in whom we have boldness, this is verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family. This verse is what stood out to me when I could no longer drag my feet and say, no, I don't want to be a pastor again, and I don't want to do this again, and everything, and the living room was running out of space, and then we moved to David and Rachel's house, and we ran out of space, and we finally had to rent a building. We finally had to put a title on it and go public, and the Lord gave me Family Church. And I thought, that almost sounds silly. It's too simple. But I've heard over and over and over again what that means to people. This is where it comes from. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in the law, In the traditions of the church, being rooted and grounded in, Father, I trust You that what You say is true. Right? He says, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, semicolon, the thought continues, it didn't change. He's talking about the same thing. And to know, all of this is about the love of Christ. Can you say that here this with me this morning? The love of Christ. Whew. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. How are we filled with the fullness of God? I love praying in other tongues. Sometimes I do feel like Paul. I pray in tongues more than y'all. You don't ever hear it very often, but out loud, a group of us around in a circle, but that is a power for the believer given through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever make fun of it. Just because other people have abused it and they've taken it places it shouldn't go, don't you ever back off of that life-changing power. Okay? Now, I don't believe that you got to make a big thing. It doesn't need to be the first order in any church or up front and blowing people. Just use common sense. Do what the Bible does. The Bible does not make it a first page, biggest theme, and if you can't swallow this, then away with you. Absolutely not. But we're also totally unashamed. I love that young lady. It changed my life at 17 years of age. And it will change yours. Seek that which he has promised. Are you with me? Okay, let me continue. I got off a little bit. Let me just continue. He says right here, he says that the key to being filled with all the fullness of God, think of that, is to find out the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of his. How many know that's going to be a journey that will last us till the end of our days? Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said that all knowledge will cease and prophecies, but there's one thing that lasts forever, the love of God. Can you lift your hands today? Come on, all over the room. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Galatians tells us, and I'm not going to get there today, it says that faith works by love. Sally and I had a long discussion the other day. Sally, I did get your text. I've been working from dark to dark at the ranch. But thank you so much. And yes, I want to do the article. I loved our conversation with you and Pat. We were talking about this the other day, that when you separate fruit from the gifts, you got a problem. Have you ever seen somebody operating the gifts? Or at least they appear to operate in the gifts and they're mean. Or they're rude. Anybody ever seen that? I have. I don't like it. I don't think God does either. Faith, how many know the just shall live by faith? But faith is designed to operate by love. Faith should grow in the soil of love. Now, I don't believe that you got all the faith you ever need, but I'm talking about the operation of that and living in that is a growing experience. How many know what I'm talking about? How many are glad for that? Okay, now look at what this says right here. Now you guys may have to stand there a few minutes because I'm not quite done. But you're good. You're good. They're helping me out. I told them to. All right, so here we go. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How are we filled with the fullness of God? Did you just read that? How are we filled? The more you know by the Spirit of God, the more you read, the more you understand. And we see Jesus' whole message was, I came to reveal to you the Father. Read that backwards. You don't know who he is. You got a lot of information in the Old Testament, and you see shadows and different things. But if you want to really know who he is and what he looks like, look at me. I came to reveal who he really is. Do with that what you like. And to know the love of Christ with passes knowledge that, ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Look at verse 20. Now we quote this a lot, and this kind of gets thrown around, especially in faith churches. But listen to what he says. Now, as a result of this whole theme, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. Are you here today? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power Are y'all reading this? I hope you're soaking this. According to the power that works in us. Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, hiding in a wine press, a coward. God saw something Gideon didn't. Our theme for the last several weeks. How many in here are glad that God saw something in you that you didn't? Many of us in here were doing a pretty good job of destroying us because we saw in us that God did not see. How many are glad today for the love of God? Three of you. How many are glad today for the love of God? The love, a revelation of His love. Look at what your Bible just said. A revelation of His love causes something to happen on the inside. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's pretty wild. According to the power that works in us. Take your hand and hold it over your heart. Would you? All over the room. Thank you, Lord. I've barely tapped into this thing. But you've called me to live supernaturally. Come on, you here today? You've called me to live supernaturally. I thank you today that there's power in me. You're helping me. Come on, would you pray this with me today? You're helping me to see it and to move into a whole new realm in Jesus. Exceedingly, come on, listen to those words. Exceedingly, abundantly. These are big words. Exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that we could ask or think. The Amplified says hope or imagine. According to a power, Reuben, that works in us. It's sad because this doesn't really offend the world, but so much of the church gets offended because they believe that, well, whatever happens, happens because God designed it. And there's no responsibility there. But a believer gets a hold of our place and getting a hold of the Word of God. Listen, it makes all the difference. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. So you guys just hold tight. Turn with me to John. The book of John. A couple other scriptures. These aren't hidden scriptures. But they're scriptures that keep, that I'm being continually reminded of. John 14. Gospel of John 14. Jesus opens up this chapter and He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Do you know how many believers, Spirit-filled believers I know that have a clouded brow and live in constant troubled state? It should not. Come on, are you here this morning? It should not be so. All this that He gave us was designed for one thing. The Father is interested in you having and living in joy because the prophet said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy isn't happiness, a human reaction to our surroundings. Joy is spiritually given. It's something that comes from the inside out. I'm very glad for joy today. So look at what He says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. You've heard me quote this scripture many times over the last few weeks, but it's right here in this chapter. Look at verse 5 says, Thomas says unto the Lord, "We know not whither Thou goest." We don't know where You're going. We've heard You say enough, You're going somewhere. This is before He had died, was buried, resurrected, and ascended on high with the Father. He says, Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not where You're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me." Verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known My Father also, and from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said unto Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long a time with you, yet you have not known with Me? Philip, he that has seen Me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? I've been talking to you. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he is the one who's doing these works. Believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. For the things you've seen me do, right? He says, surely, surely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, listen, people of God, don't let this slumber in here. I know it's a beautiful day and it's a little warm in here. I need you to pull your bootstraps up this morning and listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. This is challenged. Listen, it's challenged every day in churches. Forget the world, in churches. Listen to what he says. He that believeth, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. How many believe in God for good things?
Yes.
Don't let this get lost in our conversation of grace. Don't get so curled up in your favorite spiritual couch with your big, thick, downy blanket that you forget that his wonderful love empowers you to make a difference. Now, it's going to look different in every different person has different giftings. It's not going to look the same. Shouldn't. Quit trying to be like somebody else. Let God use you where you're at, on your level of knowledge and experience and walking with God. Don't come under that demonic pressure that says, well, if you really, then you should look like so-and-so. Stop that. Just trust him for what he said. Be you in Jesus and let God help with the rest. I'd rather take baby steps right now and miss 3 out of 4, but there was a day when I missed 4 out of 4. If I got 1 down, the next step in Jesus, I may get 2 out of 4. But I learned something a long time ago. Every shot I don't take is a miss. I'm going to trust God for what he says. Greater work shall you do. Now listen to what Jesus says to you and I today. Verse 13. Listen, this right here, if this stumps you, then you're struggling with the gospel, because this is the gospel. He says right here, he says, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He follows out, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. He wasn't talking about the law. Don't get confused. He makes it clear what he was talking about. If you really love me, this will transform you. You'll love others. Faith works by, this theme is all the way through. Faith works by love. Great faith. And it doesn't always make sense. Chapter 15, next chapter over. Look at what he says. Down in verse 7, you've heard me quote this many times. I want you to see it in your Bible before we go. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Let this settle in. Ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Can you say with me this morning, stretch? Come on, are you here today? Stretch. So I can do all things through Christ. I'm stretching through Christ who strengthens me. We're talking about this thing called faith. Right? It's the same thing when I was in high school, newly filled with the Holy Spirit. I had a group of kids that were making fun of me. We shared this the other night in our little Bible school class, making fun of me, and they brought one of the cheerleaders, and it was a setup. She'd sprained her ankle, and her ankle was about as big as a small melon. I was new to all this. Man, I was flying high, trusting Jesus. And I remember they brought her in, and I know it was a joke. But you know what? The joke was over. I just simply put my hands on her ankle, commanded the swelling to go down in Jesus' name, pain to leave. And it doesn't always happen exactly this way, but I believe that when I pray, God moves. Do you believe that when you pray because of his love for you, that God moves? How many are holding on and believing God? Some of you believe God and it looks like it went the opposite direction. Don't be fooled. Don't you be fooled. Hang on. Trust Him. Last week we talked about a rest of faith. I want to come back to that. This was part of my message today I never got to, but you're getting the one we're supposed to get today. All right, here's the deal. So he says, look at John 16. He speaks of sending the Comforter, that He's not going to leave us alone. But look all the way down over here at 16, verse 23. He says, in that day, and I won't take time to expound on that. He says, in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you. This young lady, when her ankle went down, everybody was clued in. We, because of one miracle and a couple other things like that that happened, a bunch of kids that were the cool kids that were making fun, including one kid from Central California who claimed he was an atheist, received the Lord. This is right before my last year in high school. Are you with me? Receive the Lord because they saw. Listen, that's not the pastor supposed to do all that, and you watch the show. This is the believer that says, I trust Him and I believe His faithful promises that He affirms to me continually are for me. The more I see His goodness, the more I see His love. That's why I love what Brother Osteen said. What was the key to your church? He said, I just kept preaching the goodness of God until I found some people who were interested. I love it. Okay, look at what he says here. He says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. How many know this isn't talking about every little old desire, every little old want? But he's speaking to the one who comes in relationship. 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. There's the prerequisite. How many today are finding out that the word is not about all the stuff you got to do to get right with God? The word is, when I was lost and ungodly, Christ died for me, and faith in His blood justifies the ungodly. Justifying faith, listen this morning before you go, justifying faith is the same as healing faith, is the same as miracle faith, is the same kind of faith that parted waters, the same kind of faith. Listen, it's been several years ago. Charlotte's not here today because I was going to have her affirm what I'm saying. Sally can affirm it. Her one of her family members, I need to be careful, tried to commit suicide at one of our local lakes. They found her almost dead, full of pills. Jack and I tried to get away for a weekend we're coming back up the mountain, and we get a call. It's 11 o'clock at night. Is there any way? We go to the ICU. She's laying there. The doctors thought Jackie and I were crazy. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. I remember stepping behind that curtain, and there's this lady gone. They were going to send her to the Mayo. Do you remember this? They were going to send her to the Mayo Clinic in Phoenix, and they finally decided it's hopeless. Okay, listen to what I'm telling you. It's hopeless. It's useless. There's no point in this. And they stopped the order, and she was there to die. No consciousness, no response to anything. And I remember walking into that deal. Here's the deal. We had been resting. There had been some things that had happened, and we needed to get our heads clear. This is not what I expected. So I wasn't at my peak of faith and power. Aren't you glad that when we are weak, whoo, He is made strong. When we believe a truth. I remember we came back up, went through all this deal, got back to, they finally, through Charlotte and the sister was there, let us go back into ICU. They were very reluctant. And when I asked them if we could pull the cartons that I wanted to pray for her, you should have seen the look on their faces. They thought I was crazy. And I'll be honest, I thought I was crazy. But I'll never forget as long as I leave, I can't think of her name, Faith. The sister. Not Faith. Fawn. I remember her because we walked in and I said, I want to pray for her. And I remember Jack and I held hands and I'd like, what's there to lose? Why don't we just stand? Why don't you take a step? Believe the supernatural life that He's called us to live. I'd just be just like the rest of you. You think because I'm a pastor, I don't have, today's a new day. Today's a new place in grace, and it's also a new place to battle. You can't practice life. Life goes on. But how many know by faith we can live proactively and make a difference? So I'm not telling you that I was all pumped up and prayed up. We'd been relaxing. I wasn't thinking about any of that. And then when I got this, I was like, oh, Jesus, this is the worst time in the world for anything like this to happen. I'm not ready. Whew, that's a good place to be. Trust Him, not you. So I said, honey, grab my hands. Fawn's standing over here on the side watching this deal. And I put my hand on her body and I said, it just came right out of my mouth, just like you. I said, I rebuke death in Jesus' name. And her body did a tremor. And she sucked up like this and she started trying. You should have seen the people in the ICU. Given up for dead. They weren't even going to transport her to the Mayo. Walked out within hours. This isn't about religion, about having church. This is about a living relationship with someone who loved us. And all we did was respond with the faith He gave us. And that same faith He gives us that justifies we who were ungodly. And how many know we got some things in our lives still that need some cleaning up? But He loves us in the middle of that. The more we trust Him and believe Him, His justifying faith is the same faith that raises the dead. Sally was sharing with me the other night about she got caught in the middle of a gang war. That's been thinking about that ever since. Got caught in the middle of a gang war down in Phoenix. And had a kid that by all rights, convulsing and foaming at the mouth, hit his head on a curb in the middle of a fight. They wound up, they got lost. I don't remember the whole story. Sally can tell us some other time. Bottom line is, they thought they were foreign nurses. And she said, here's this guy laying there, convulsing, hit the back of his head on concrete, and it's a wreck. In the name of Jesus, do you understand what we have? Hitherto, you've asked nothing, but I tell you that whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Back up just a little bit. Do I want to take the time for this? Probably not. Anyway, how many know that God has put supernatural power on the inside of us? And we're going to get back into more things. I wanted to talk about the prophet of old who prays that the young guy gets his eyes open. We'll look at that next time. I thought we would do it this week. We still got Rahab that I want to talk about. But I felt like we need to just slow down, touch base with where we're at. How many trust? Come on, are you here today? Let's stand to our feet. Can you lift your hands? How many trust God today as He affirms to you His faithful promises? Starting with things like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you can boldly say, shout it out with me this morning, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do. Promises like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let these not be slogans. Let these be words filled with faith. Continual affirmation of His promises to us. Promises like, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Promises like, by His stripes I was healed. promises like He is my peace. Hallelujah. Promises like my children will be taught of the Lord, and oppression shall be far from them. Hallelujah. Promises like I am blessed with faithful Abraham, for I have put my faith in the one who was cursed, according to Galatians 3. Hung on a tree, and I'm redeemed. Would you say it with me today? I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, Christ having been made a curse for me. Promises like that, which is so mind-blowing, I've just imagined it. I've seen God using me in a certain way, or I've seen my business going in a certain way so I can be a blessing, or I've seen different things that I believe in God. But even far beyond that, I'm beginning to realize there's a power in me when I release it through words, when I release it with faith, believing, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above. Are you here this morning? All that we could ask or think according to that power. Hallelujah. How many ready to release some faith this week? Speak some things. I love that song we did in the beginning. I will live and I will not. I will live. How's it go? I'll live and not die. The resurrection power of Christ. I am life in me.
Alive in me.
And I am free in Jesus' name. I'm going to declare your freedom today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, come on. Let's just worship all over the building. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for a revelation of your love for us. Length, breadth, depth, height. Would you say with me, I embrace the fullness of who you are. Now teach me about what's going on inside of here, this power that's already mine, how to release it. I embrace faith, for by this faith I must live. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Do you realize that you got power to raise the dead on the inside? You think that's nuts? You realize you got power on the inside of you to heal the whole? Jesus didn't say, you pray for him and I'll heal him. He says, now you go and heal. How many are glad that we have power in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Can I pray for you before we dismiss? Who do we have here this morning that's part of our prayer team? Amen. Richie, the only one? Come on, guys. Make your way up here, would you? We're going to be dismissed in the presence of God right now. Can I pray for you before we go? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, man, don't leave here without coming into relationship. I'll remain up here. There'll be others that will pray with you. I'd love to lead you into relationship with Jesus. Any need that you have. But I'm going to let you go right now. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your blessing, your unmerited favor, your strength, your life, the faith of Jesus inside each one that is here. Father, we thank you for boldness by the Holy Ghost to speak and declare your truth above what the world claims. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. God blesses you. Go have a wonderful week in Jesus. Let's worship. Amen. As we go, altars are open. We'd love to pray for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. Oh, yes. I love you, Lord.